yourselves comfortable. You're all sitting such a long way away. Don't fear anyway. Okay, so, devotees and friends, let us read a verse from Bhagavad Gita as it is. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We'll read from Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, Transcendental Knowledge, verse 5. TK? Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Bahuni me Vyatitani Janmani Tavacharjuna Tanyaham Veda Sarvani Natam Veta Parantapa. The Personality of Godhead said, many, many births both you and I have passed. I can remember all of them, but you cannot, O subduer of the enemy. And there's actually quite a long purport by Srila Prabhupada. I may not read the whole thing, but let's read at least part of it. In the Brahma Samhita chapter 5 verse 33, we have information of many, many incarnations of the Lord. It is stated there, Advaita Machutam Anadim Anantarupam Adyam Purana Purusham Navayovanam Cha Vedeshu Dualabam Adualabam Atma Bhakto Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami, which means, I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead Govinda, Krishna, who is the original person, absolute, infallible, without beginning. Although expanded into unlimited forms, he is still the same original, the oldest, and the person always appearing as a fresh youth. Such eternal, blissful, all-knowing forms of the Lord are usually not understood by even the best Vedic scholars. But they're always manifest to pure, unalloyed devotees. So Prabhupada continues. It is also stated in Brahma Samhita, the same Brahma Samhita, chapter 5, verse 39. Ramadi Murti Shukala Niyamena Tishtan Na Navatara Makarod Bhuvaneshu Kintu Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Paramapumanyo Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami, which means, I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, Krishna, who is always situated in various incarnations, such as Ram, Nrisinga, and many sub-incarnations as well, but who is the original Personality of Godhead, known as Krishna, and who incarnates personally also. Unquote. In the Vedas also it is said that the Lord, although one without a second, manifests himself in innumerable forms. He is like the Vaidurya stone, which changes color, yet still remains one. All those multi-forms are understood by the pure unalloyed devotees, but not by a simple study of the Vedas. Vedeshu Dualabham Adualabham Atma Bhaktam. Devotees like Arjuna are constant companions of the Lord, and whenever the Lord incarnates, the associate devotees also incarnate in order to serve the Lord in different capacities. Arjuna is one of these devotees. And in this verse it is understood that some millions of years ago, when Lord Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to the sun god Vibhishan, Arjuna, in a different capacity, was also present. But the difference between the Lord and Arjuna is that the Lord remembered the incident, whereas Arjuna could not remember. That is the difference between the part and parcel living entity and the Supreme Lord. Let me just read the verse again. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Bahuni me vachitani Janmani tavacharajuna Tanyaham veda saravani Natam veta parantapa. The Personality of Godhead said, many, many births both you and I have passed. I can remember all of them, but you cannot, O subduer of the enemy. Ma'am Vishnupadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swadmiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pachane Niravishesha Shunyavani Vastutya Dejitarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Vajikapa Puribhyas Chakripa Sindhu Pyevacha Patitana Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So how nice to be here with you all. A number of you, even the majority, yes, the majority, were with us last night at Krishna Chandra's place. But not all of you. It was a nice program we had last night. So I thought we could read this verse. It's a nice verse. In this verse, I was going to say the Chobe. Anyway, we sort of got caught up there for a second. But that's okay. Yes, it's a nice verse at the beginning of the fourth chapter, in which Krishna is distinguishing between himself and Arjuna and us, Arjuna on behalf of us, that he and Lord Krishna have been together since time immemorial. There's no one can say how long. It's just too long. But still, particularly at this time, 5,000 years ago, Lord Krishna, well, not just at this time, but in general, Krishna, when he appears, and his devotees, certain of his devotees, appear with him, then he places them into illusion to some degree. Not complete illusion, like your average person just walking in the streets who just has no idea whatsoever, truly no idea whatsoever, of what is what in terms of the higher spiritual reality. So the devotees here, Arjuna's mentioned, devotees who appear with Krishna, they're prone to forget who is Krishna, what is his position and how they appeared before so many times. That point Lord Krishna's making, and Prabhupada expands on that, that this is because we're all very small. Krishna's very big, in fact he's unlimited, but we are very small. And because we're very small, we're not just small physically compared to him, but we're just very small in terms of our psychological capabilities, our intelligence, all these sort of internal parts of our natures. We're very small, so therefore we're prone to forget. After all, Arjuna was with Krishna, and he had forgotten so many times they appeared together. We are here in Alberton, as parts of ISKCON Alberton, but we are prone to forget so many things. Like last night we had our program at the Krishna Church on Prabhu's place. And we were talking about, who can remember, who of you who was there, who can remember which particular deity, famous deity, we were talking about? Madan Mohan. Yes, well, you could remember that. It's relatively easier because it was sort of a very prominent point, and we repeated it and talked about it from different points of view. But if I asked you to repeat one sentence that I spoke verbatim of a minimum of, say, 10 words, I couldn't do it myself. And I'm the one who spoke it. So, because we're very small, we're prone to forget so many things. But Krishna doesn't, because he's unlimited. I was going to say because he's never affected by illusion, which is also true, very true. But in this context, because he's unlimited, therefore his consciousness and his conscious capabilities and capacities are also unlimited. And therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself says, Vedaham samatitani vartamanani chaujana bhavishyani chabhutani mam chaveda na kaschana. I know, which means I know everything which happened in the past, everything which is happening at present, and I also know all things which are to come. I also know all other living beings, but me, no one knows. Mam tu veda na. But no one knows me. This is Krishna speaking. So, such an amazing personality. And the source of all different incarnations, he appears in different ways at different times. Sometimes he appears as he is, as Krishna, the original Supreme Lord. Sometimes he expands into different forms. Prabhupada mentions Ram, Nrisinga, Varaha, Kurava, Vamana, Lord Chaitanya, and all sorts of other forms. But Krishna is always the original Lord. You know, I was thinking just before we left to come here, just, an hour ago, 45 minutes, an hour ago, I was thinking, what should we talk about? And then I got this little idea. How Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all the other forms of the Lord are just like secondary, you could say. Even some Prabhupada says, some are expansions or incarnations, some are sub-incarnations. They're different levels of forms of the Lord. Oftentimes in terms of what percentage of qualities of the Lord they display. But Lord Krishna is always the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even when apparently he may appear to not be like that. Like when he's a little boy in Vrindavan. We just returned from Vrindavan yesterday morning. It was extremely interesting. So when Lord Krishna is a small boy and he's with his mother Yashoda and all the neighborhood ladies gather, because it is just the happening thing in the neighborhood to be with Krishna when he's a little boy before he starts herding the cows and going out on a daily basis. Before that, he's at home with his mother Yashoda and all the other local ladies. They all gather and they have little exchanges and pastimes with Krishna. So it's described in Srimad Bhagavatam how sometimes the ladies, they, in a joking spirit, they sort of tease Krishna, you could say. Krishna is very small, so he can't walk nicely. He's a little sort of clumsy, you could say, and sometimes loses his balance a bit, as a small child does. So they sort of tease him, and the Bhagavatam says, sometimes those ladies say to Krishna, Krishna, dance. Dance, Krishna. And because their relationship is like that, means very warm and affectionate, close relationship, Krishna tries to dance. But like we said, he can't even walk completely properly. Sometimes he just sort of falls over. So he tries to dance, but it's not like real dancing. Who is the best dancer in ISKCON Alberton? Who would you say?
It has to be from the kids group.
Kids group, really. All right, anyway. But Krishna, when they say to him, go on, dance, Krishna, dance. Because of the relationship, he tries to, but he sort of just hops around in a sort of, you know, strange way, really. There's no gracefulness. There's no rhythm. It's just a little child. And the ladies laugh at him. They laugh at him. And Krishna, he's accepting the role of a little child, innocent little child. And so he doesn't become offended. Why are you laughing at me? Don't you laugh at me, that's not nice. No, it's okay. He's just like a little child. It's an exchange of affection. But even though it's like that, it's not that Krishna's position as the Supreme Lord has become compromised, that now he's become something less or just something other than the Supreme Lord. No, he remains the Supreme Lord. But this is an example of having loving exchanges. And that really takes precedence over formalities and sort of official types of things like, you know, you shouldn't laugh at God. It is a no-no. It is not recommended to laugh at God. Rather, for us at least, we should be very respectful. Very respectful. And, you know, I was also thinking about tomorrow we have a program not far from here. I'm thinking of talking about how when Krishna does things which seem wrong, they're actually right. Yes. Anyway, you have to come to the program tomorrow night for that. Are they allowed to?
Yes, Master.
Is it?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay. Some devotees were not allowed to come tonight. And they got a little, you know, anyway. So anyway, you can hear about that tomorrow night. It's very nice. It's very interesting. But in this case, it's sort of similar, but it's not quite the same. So, but Krishna's always the supreme. You know, we had the month of Kartik, the month of Damodar, where Mother Yashoda tied Krishna, because Krishna was naughty. And don't ever tell Krishna that he's naughty either. Always be respectful. Prabhupada said that when Krishna, from our perspective, or you could say any perspective, when Krishna was small, at home, when Krishna was good, he was good. And when Krishna was bad, he was good. Krishna's absolute. So, yes, in that Damodar Leela, I'm sure you all know the story very well. Krishna was being naughty, and Mother Yashoda wanted to tie him. And it's a bit of a long story, but she managed to. Well, first of all, she managed to catch him. Then she had to tie him. And if you know, you know the story. So much rope, you know, 2 or 3 meters or so, it must be long enough to tie up, what, like a 3 or 4 year old child, something like that. But it was 2 fingers too short. How could it be? But she didn't really think, how could that be? She just added rope. Then she had 5 meters of rope. But it was still 2 fingers too short. How could it be? Anyway, so eventually she had lots of rope. Really a lot of rope. But it was always 2 fingers too short. And how could it be? Well, it could be, and it was. Because even though Krishna is in this form of apparently a little child, you know, maybe this height perhaps, and this far around, something like that. But despite that, he remains the Supreme Lord. And he's not limited at all in any way by apparently being in that small size. And, you know, the very last day, what was it? It was Sunday. When we were on our parikrama, the very last place we went, it's called Brahmanda Ghat. Ghat means a bathing place. There's stairs on the banks of the Yamuna, and people bathe in the Yamuna there. So, and Brahmanda means universe. We are in the Brahmanda, we're within the universe. So there, Lord Krishna was accused of eating dirt. So Mother Yashoda looked in his mouth to check, has he been eating dirt? But she didn't see any dirt. So, as such, she saw the universe within Krishna's mouth. And it's not just some sort of hallucination or some sort of special vision. But the fact is, the universe is within Krishna. Even though Krishna is apparently within the universe, but the universe is simultaneously within him. Let us not try to sort of agitate our minds too much about that. But still, it's true. And he demonstrated that. Once Srila Prabhupada was talking with a small group of devotees in London, and he was talking about, we could say, about the structure of the universe and how it all comes to be in the beginning of creation. That, if you're familiar with these things, Vishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, lies down on the ocean at the bottom of the universe. From his navel comes the big lotus flower, and Lord Brahma is the first being to appear, who is then going to organize and engineer the universe. And all of us are still within the stem of the lotus. Maybe this is a little technical. But one devotee, this was being discussed, and one devotee asked Prabhupada, how can we understand this? That all of the living entities are within the stem of that lotus. How is it working? And Srila Prabhupada answered, it is too much for your puppy brains. So how is Krishna within the universe, but the same universe is within him? Because Mother Yashoda saw herself in Krishna's mouth, and there were a few cows around, she saw them. And she even saw Krishna, who was right there with her in the mouth of Krishna. What can you say? All you can say is, Hare Krishna. That's enough. So, yes. So, therefore things which are apparently contradictory and are actually not really comprehensible by our puppy brains,
With Krishna,
they become, how did Prabhupada put it? It's something like, all contradictions are resolved within Krishna. So the thing is, and what I was thinking of mentioning just before we left, is that, you know, there are these pastimes I mentioned, Krishna sort of dancing or sort of hopping around a bit and being laughed at as if he's not the Supreme Lord. There are other similar pastimes, and they're very interesting. There's one place we went. It's called Sheshashayi. I imagine a few of you, or however many of you, have been to Vrindavan area before. I have my doubts. I don't know, but I have my doubts that any of you have been to Sheshishai. You've been there? How many times have you been to Vrindavan?
19.
19? Sure. He's been there 19 times or so. He's never been to Sheshishai. Anyway, don't worry, next time. It's worth it. It's really quite amazing. It's a big temple there. And the deity on the altar is Shiradakshai Vishnu, lying down on a Anantashesh with Lakshmi Devi massaging his lotus feet. And the Lord is there, he has four arms, four hands, holding the conch and lotus and disc and the club. These four symbols of Vishnu. And even the local people, they call it the Vishnu Temple. And even, would you believe, if you look at, what do you call it? Google Maps. Even Google Maps calls it the Vishnu Temple. And you know, Google, if it's in Google, what can you say? It must be right. But not in this case. Because what happened there? And there are a few places like this around Vrindavan area where Krishna displayed himself in such a way or such ways that he didn't appear to be, you know, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. He appeared to be someone other than or even less than, like Vishnu, who's lying on the ocean of milk, is a, you know, like, certainly at best a secondary expansion incarnation of Krishna, not one of the really big, powerful ones, much more reduced in scale. So what happened was that Krishna, he was in a bit of a mood with the gopis. A bit of a mood means he was in a showing off mood. Sometimes boys do this in front of girls. Did you know that? Sometimes they try to impress the girls. You know where that tendency comes from? It comes from Krishna. He does it sometimes, tries to show off. Yes, just see, look at me. So he said, the gopis were sort of chastising him. Who are you? You just heard the cows. What's that? People who heard cows are just too ordinary. And Krishna said, don't talk to me like that. No, I'm not ordinary. He said, I am so extraordinary that Shiradakshai Vishnu is a minor form of me. And the gopis, Radharani and the gopis said, oh, please don't say things like that. Ah. Come on, please, stop it. And Krishna said, no, I'll show you. So he manifested two extra arms. Lord Balaram, his brother and first expansion, transformed himself into Anantashesh, the divine many-headed serpent, who is like the couch or bed of Vishnu. And they both, just in front, and it's still there, it's fairly substantial. It used actually to be like a lake. Now they've walled off part of it. So that lake transformed into a milk lake. And Krishna and Balaram, as apparently Shiradakshay Vishnu and Anantashesh, went out on the lake. And Balaram as Anantashesh is lying there with his many heads over Krishna's head. And Krishna's there with his forearms, holding his different symbols. And Srimati Radharani got so inspired seeing this, she went out there and took up the role of Lakshmi Devi and started massaging Krishna's lotus feet. So this is Krishna, he's the original Supreme Lord. He is the actual original source of everything and everyone, including even all forms of himself. Yeah, but sometimes he does things like this. Sometimes he manifests himself in ways which don't seem so serious. And for the devotees, it's it's just important to appreciate, to understand, accept, and to appreciate how Krishna may do things like this. Because Krishna has nothing to prove. He doesn't have to prove that he's a big man or that he's powerful. He doesn't have to do that. So that the devotees can recognize. And therefore now, even though that deity they take to be Vishnu, I mean many people at least, but the devotees know it's Krishna. And it's Krishna manifesting in an extraordinary way to have loving exchanges with his devotees. Sometimes these things happen, or sort of related things. When Krishna wants to teach a lesson. For example, we went, was it the day before that? No, the day after that, actually. Anyway, just shortly after that. We went to a place called Bailvan. Means a forest of bale trees. And there is a deity of Mahalakshmi, the main deity, in this very beautiful temple establishment. It's really a very nice place. And Mahalakshmi is doing austerities to enter the Rasa dance 5,000 years ago or so, when Krishna was on the planet. Mahalakshmi was watching from up there in the spiritual world in Vaikuntha, and she saw this amazing dancing going on. And Lakshmi is a bit of a dancer also. And so she decided to come down and join in the Rasa dance. Why not? So there's this whole subject is discussed in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's another very interesting thing. Lord Chaitanya is staying with some devotees, a devotee family, who are worshippers of Lakshmi Narayan. And they take Narayan to be the ultimate supreme, and Krishna to be what we call a Leela avatar, an expansion of Lord Narayan for Leelas, for pastimes. And Lord Chaitanya wants to convince or just show this one devotee, his name is Venkata Bhatta, how actually Krishna is the original form and Narayan is expanded from him. And Lakshmi is expanded from Radharani. The way Lord Chaitanya does it is very nice. He's kind of very sensitive, which is a quality of the Lord and a quality of the devotees. They generally don't beat people over their heads and just, you know, try and force people to accept things. So Lord Chaitanya started a discussion by asking a question. He said, you know, I am puzzled. He wasn't actually, but he presented himself like that. I am puzzled. Why did Lakshmi, who is known, famous, as the most chaste wife, why did she abandon her husband, Narayan, up there in the spiritual world, long way away, and come down here, long way away, to dance with someone else? It's a good question, isn't it? For any wife, really, what to speak of the best. And Venkata Bhatta, this devotee of Narayan, said, that's okay, it's no problem, because Krishna is an expansion of Narayan. So they're the same person. And so there's nothing, she's just wanting to dance with the husband, but in this particular form he has. So it's okay. There's nothing immoral about it. And Lord Chaitanya answers and says, thank you so much. What a wonderful answer. What a wonderful answer. But then Lord Chaitanya says, I'm still puzzled, because how is it that when she wanted to enter the Rasa dance and take part, she was not able to? Then Katabhata was just taken aback by that. It's her husband, okay. And you say in a lesser form, so, you know, shouldn't be a big thing. But she was unable to enter the residence. And in fact, she's still performing austerities in order to be able to enter the residence. That was 4,500 years ago when Lord Chaitanya was here. Lakshmi Devi, I can report to you all that on Sunday, the, whatever it was, 1st, 2nd, 30th, that last Sunday, Lakshmi Devi was still performing austerities and she still hasn't entered the Rasa dance. So poor Venkata Bhatta couldn't answer. Why was she unable? And Lord Chaitanya explained that it was because she wanted to stay in her very big position as Lakshmi Devi, very opulent, powerful, very prominent person. And she was not willing to become a humble little devotee in Vrindavan and learn how to be a Vrindavan devotee by following those who are already the devotees of Vrindavan. Therefore she was unable, she's still unable. And the Lord is not impressed by austerity. Unless, of course, they're facilitating service. But otherwise, in general, you can only approach him through service. And she wasn't really willing to, at least in the sense that she needed to. So that's something we can learn from ourselves. Some of us may be big, important people. Any big important people here? Any billionaires? You know, one thing I was told in Russia was that one of the slogans of the communists back in there, sort of when they were really very powerful, was, "We will make every Russian a millionaire." Yeah. Means like the American, I mean, sort of beat the Americans at their own game. We'll do it through communism. And in due course, they did. Every Russian became a millionaire, a ruble millionaire. But the problem was, at that time, a million, the ruble had lost value. A million rubles could buy you, well, maybe 10 liters of milk. I tell you what. Anyway, I won't go down that path. But we can only, Krishna's only impressed by service. Not impressed, but that's what touches his heart and opens his heart. And therefore we should engage in service. And even if someone is, by certain standards, a very important person, but they should not be swayed by that. It's like a hallucination that I have so much money, therefore I'm important. Therefore I don't need to take shelter of Krishna. The example of Lakshmi there shows that no matter how big and important you are, you should take a humble position and render service. Just render service. And this will attract the heart of the Lord to you. And gradually in due course, you'll be able to develop a personal relationship with the Lord. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Sri Vrindavan Dham ki.
Jai.
So,